Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A man named George just tweeted in, if they have a week 18, which would be a buffer week, can't they just still do the buys and just move the Super Bowl back 1 week? They could for sure, but then to my way of thinking, instead of the number one seeds being rewarded, they're actually being punished then by having, what, 3 weeks practically between games? Like a two-weekend break and 3 full weeks between games. I mean, that's not what you want. Let's bring on Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. He's on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Brian, I can't imagine it's a great sign that the Steelers believe there will be a game played Sunday if they canceled practice today. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I'm as surprised by that as you are, Joe. Mike Tomlin's not usually one to kind of make those quick knee-jerk decisions, and you know, you don't see why that maybe you can't wait around a couple more hours, but I mean, it is already 12:45, and you know, they canceled it around noon, I guess, or maybe 12:15, so... Yeah, they probably figured, just like we do, who are on the outside looking in, that from where they sit on the inside, there's not any resolution coming for this in the imminent hours ahead.
So I passed this by Ray Fittipaldo as well earlier today. The conspiracy theories run amok here. Two of them, the two richest to me, are that the Ravens are out to screw over the Steelers and save themselves, and that the league is out to ruin the Steelers. What is your thought on each of those?
They're completely bizarre, of course, Joe. It reminds me of the days of when Steelers fans, you know, friends and family included, I'm not deriding anybody here. This is the nature of fandom, but people who are very, very fervent about the Steelers used to think that Bill Belichick was screwing them every which way he could, and sometimes he was, but... And just all of those ideas. But, I mean, you saw the tweet from Calais Campbell, a veteran, a very heavy guy into the NFLPA, and what he said about how the Ravens are just trying to deal with the outbreak of a virus here. Now, that doesn't exactly jibe with, you know, a strength coach who apparently went rogue in a very bad way. But as Mike Tomlin said, it's one fail, all fail in this environment. And right now the Ravens are all failing because of one, and a guy we have never even heard of.
Well, that leads to this question, and I honestly believe if the Ravens haven't had the spread contained by early next week, or if the league deems them unable to play the game because of their issues by Monday or Tuesday, at the latest Tuesday, then I think the forfeit option should become very, very real because of how much you'll have to alter on account of the Ravens, and more so, because they have already self-reported their crime, so to speak, that they had a COVID protocol issue here with their, I guess, their strength coach. To me, that should really enact the forfeit option, I think. Brian, you?
Yeah, it's hard to find any other way around it, Joe. I don't like this week 18 idea. I mean, I know it has been talked about really for a month or so now, but to me, there just wasn't enough foresight put into that plan. It reeks of the NFL kind of scrambling rather than actually planning ahead of how to approach COVID-19 cancellations or what have you. So I'm really not on board with that. And while I hate the idea of a forfeit as well, I think it might be the lesser of two evils here, and you know, somewhat unavoidable insofar as we found out why the Ravens are having this outbreak. Because I've said before that you know, I'm not naive to think that other teams couldn't get this unlucky, but the fact that they did appear to breach some protocol, that puts them in a real bad spot.
Yeah, and I mean, after Titans Steelers, 3 days after that game was postponed, the league included possible forfeit in its language here. So what else could happen? Let's say, first let me ask you this. What's the latest day that the league would play this game? Would they play it on a Tuesday like they did Chiefs-Bills?
I don't see why not. We have that precedent set. So we'll see. I mean, I think Tuesday could happen, but you'd have to probably push back a lot of other stuff.
Like what? I mean, you'd have to push back Ravens Cowboys from next Thursday to next Sunday, but what else?
I guess you could get in a rut here, if you want to call it that, or a delay where, I mean, are the Steelers going to ask stuff to get pushed back? I mean, they don't want to keep getting the short end of the stick here. I mean, they've been, one, uncertain for how long now, and these guys are creatures of habit, and two, they've had plenty of schedule disruption. So would you have to bump back some more games of them just to kind of avoid having one team take the brunt of this, especially when they're not really at fault for anything as far as we can tell?
No, I agree with that for sure. But I would still prefer if, I mean, I was mistaken, by the way. It was Tennessee and the Bills that played on a Tuesday. And then the Bills played the following Monday. So they took their next game and I think pushed it back a day so that they'd at least have 6 days between games. So who knows? If these two teams played on Tuesday, Brian, you might see Steelers-Washington on a Monday. You could see that game pushed to the following Monday, right? So now I mean, what you mean by several games.
Right. I mean, these are not ideal fixes, but if the NFL wants to trot out this line of, hey, we're just rolling with the punches here, we knew we were going to have disruptions and everyone has to stay flexible, then shouldn't you at least try to achieve some modicum of fairness and that flexibility rather than, for lack of a better term, just kind of dumping all the unfairness and the curveballs on one team here that, you know, you talk about the bad luck of the Titans and Ravens having to deal with these outbreaks, but, you know, what are the odds that the Steelers would be the team that is the one on the brink of one already, you know, many weeks later postponed game and now the one that's looking the most dicey for a possible actual cancellation? I mean, I guess it's, you know, 1 in 32 times two. So, you know, pretty long odds that the Steelers would be at the wrong end of this thing twice.
So the Titans had to play that Tuesday against Buffalo and then come back right back on Sunday and play. And they wound up winning both those games, by the way. I wouldn't have a problem if the league played this on a Monday or Tuesday and then even moved the Steelers' next game. My problem, Brian, would be if you potentially took away the Steelers' bye week, if you let this Ravens situation seep into how your playoff schedule is. And that's why if they can't play by Tuesday, that's why I would enforce a forfeit, which of course would create its own set of issues, especially with this Schefter tweet of neither team would get paid in case of a forfeit. How do you think that would fly with Juju and the guys?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. And I've seen a couple people say, well, why can't the Steelers just kind of make up that money anyway, or the Ravens? But I don't know that that's allowable by whatever bylaws they have in the contract with the NFLPA and things of that nature. I'm certainly no lawyer, so you know, don't hold me to that, but I don't know that it's quite that simple. I'm with you, Joe, though. The place that I draw the line is allowing this to so significantly factor into the playoffs in the postseason. I know that if you have a forfeit or even a no contest or something, that will put an asterisk next to the Steelers possibly going unbeaten. But they've said, and I think the fans, too, would agree with this, that they'd much rather win a Super Bowl than just be the next team that goes 16-0. And the path to winning a Super Bowl is one that's been clearly defined, you know, from the beginning, since they changed to 7 teams in each league. And to go and mess with that now would not sit right with me. So I think that would be a really bad precedent for moving the goalpost. I mean, it's one thing to try to be flexible in this COVID season, but to go in late November and basically move the ball and say, okay, well, now this is what's happening through no fault of your own. That would be pretty shady, and I think something that would sit even worse with the Steelers than maybe having a game wiped off their schedule.
Man, that would be something. Now, Jerry Dulek has written for the Post-Gazette that Steelers use selective memory and outrage over Ravens postponement, and he's simply pointing out that not too long ago, the Steelers had some people sidelined. And if that game, if that had been this week, you would have had no Ben on the original schedule. But with a postponement, you would have had Ben on Sunday. So I would imagine feelings would be a little different, Brian. And even though it wasn't strictly technically a break in protocol, the fact of the matter remains the Steelers put a guy they deemed ill enough not to be able to practice on Friday on their plane to Dallas on Saturday and got flat out lucky that they didn't have an outbreak.
Right. I'm with you there. I mean, there is so much luck to this. I guess it is bad for the Titans and Ravens that both of those cases, the closest we've come to, you know, seemingly legitimate outbreaks, did have some actual breaches in protocols, and ones that when you read some of these reported details, just make you scratch your head and say, how can they be this clueless? But as for the Steelers, yeah, I mean, it could have gone sideways on them as well. And, you know, I think I've told you on the show here before, I really don't like this idea that a lot of fans seem to have, and that, well, the Steelers are doing everything right. They are taking all these precautions. They are being so extra careful. You know, they rank number one in the league right now in record. They must also rank number one in following the COVID protocols. Let's not get crazy. I mean, if you think these guys are literally sitting at home in a bubble and then going to practice and going back home to return to their bubble, that's just not happening. And I don't think it should. I don't expect them to, because no other team is doing that. But again, don't lose sight of the big picture here. You know, try to keep things in perspective at least a little bit, that this in many ways could happen to any team. Right now, it's happening to the Ravens, who just so happen to be the Steelers' arch rival and the next one up on the slate.
The Steelers were, in fact, fined $350,000 for breaking protocol, were they not?
Yeah, a mask issue, and Mike Tomlin basically shrugged that off, which, you know, I think that was kind of the only strange moment for him during this whole crazy season. I think he's really handled everything well, except for that question about, did you inquire as to why you guys were fined? And he just said, no, we'll just be better. To me, you'd want all the information you can possibly have, and maybe he just, you know, wasn't clearing that up for us in the media, but you'd think that you'd want to know exactly how you can be better from the NFL if that is indeed the case.
Right, and I myself raged against that at the time, because I felt like Tomlin, every time I looked at him during the season, did have the mask up, and it's natural that it's going to come down once in a while. My other point of rage then was, now that the Steelers have been fined the same amount as the Titans, the Titans are the ones who, I didn't blame them for getting COVID, for God's sakes. I blame them for holding a secret workout less than 24 hours after the NFL said directly to them, because they were having an outbreak, you will have no group gatherings. And they basically spit in the league's face, and the league did almost nothing about it except for a fine. That's the problem I had there.
Yeah, I certainly don't like the inconsistency of how the NFL seems to be handling many of these COVID cases and situations. But I mean, I'd also just like to remind that, you know, we don't necessarily know all that's going on behind the scenes. I mean, they do have these top-notch medical experts who are apparently handling things on a case-by-case basis. And I also, Joe, go back to June, July, August, September, where the whole approach from the NFLPA was, we want to do this, we want to play this season, but only if we can be assured all these things that tell us it will be 100% safe, or at least as safe as it can be, from daily testing to having a very defined set of protocols and close contact tracing. The non-cynic in me wants to believe that the NFL actually is erring on the side of caution in this case. And yet, you know, now we have a lot of players on the Steelers who are saying things like, this game needs to be played. Why don't we have these practice squad guys called in? What's going on here? Well, you know, you've said all along that you're willing to roll with the punches as long as you can play a season here. And I think if you're going to say something like that, you should mean it, rather than kind of changing your mind on that when things actually do get tough.
Yeah, and I was a little bit surprised. I didn't see one tweet from anybody, I could be wrong about this, whether directed toward Lamar or the other players, saying, hey, hope you guys are okay, from one you know, union brother to another. It doesn't seem like there's any of that whatsoever. It's more just outrage and how dare the league do this to us. But, Brian, let me ask you this because we got to go. I want to get to this is you did a great story on Mike Tomlin today that a lot of people nationally have picked up on and posted on Twitter just about sort of the inner workings with the job that Tomlin is doing this season. So in about a minute, can you tell people how that story came about?
Yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to write it for a while. Just, you know, it's my second year covering the Steelers. You kind of get a glimpse sometimes at how Tomlin works behind the scenes, but he's a pretty private guy, and he's not usually one to let us in on things like that. Players have occasionally opened up and given us a peek behind the curtain, if you will, at Tomlin, and I think it's coming at a pretty perfect time for people to recognize what he's doing and basically don't take him for granted if you're a Steelers fan. You're 10-0. He's never won Coach of the Year. It looks like he's going to get it this year. And, you know, he gets stale sometimes to some people because he's been here so long, but his message doesn't seem to get stale to the players ever. And to me, that's kind of where it starts for any head coach.
And the story starts with a great anecdote from Eric Ebron. So if you get a chance today, postgazette.com, it's called Long Overdue. Mike Tomlin might not get the credit he deserves, but his players hear every word, by Brian Batko. Thank you, Brian, for taking the time.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Have a nice weekend.
Sure. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!